Welcome to another audio sermon from Brighton Community Church. I hope that God speaks through this sermon to encourage you, renew your mind, and transform your life. Let's dive in.
Now, before I start preaching today, I want to issue an apology because last week, I understand that some people were upset when I said that they don't want to eat the same food as the CG and because the food doesn't help them to bulk up enough. Right? And some people said they were upset by that. And they asked, what's wrong? I already bring my chicken breast to kind of eat together with everybody already. I thought about that and I concluded that yes, it was a bad example and it was put badly. Okay, so I'm sorry about that. Somebody said that the preacher's job is to comfort the disturbed and to disturb the comfortable. Right? So as a preacher, we must not be afraid to speak the truth and give of even cause offense if necessary. But there's also no need to cause unnecessary offense. And I think that it was unnecessary. So I'm sorry about that. If that's you, I assure you I'll be happy to sit down and eat chicken breast meat with you over any meal. Okay? Come, let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your grace in our lives. I thank you for this community. I thank you for the wonderful fellowship of brothers and sisters. And I just pray that, Lord, as we continue this journey together, you will continue to mold our lives, our characters, our hearts, so that we will love one another more deeply and also make a difference in outside there as we interact with people, especially those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Yes. So speak to us once again this morning. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen. When I was 30 years old, I started going for annual medical checkups. And the doctor asked me, naturally, about my family medical history. So I informed him that both my mother and brother had stomach cancer. In fact, my brother had just died recently from stomach cancer. He was 8 years older than me, and he died in just 6 months, and he left behind 3 young children. So when the doctor heard that, he told me that I should be very vigilant, and I go for my checkups, and to keep a close watch on for stomach cancer, especially as I approach the age that my brother passed away at 38. And what he said kind of messed up my mind, because for the next 8 years, I'm kind of like watching and waiting as if turning 38 will be a deadline, literally. And I'm embarrassed to admit this. I actually breathed a sigh of relief when I hit my 39th birthday, as if I had dodged some kind of bullet miraculously. The point is that we feel very strongly about our health. I have now lived a good 20 years past that ominous mark. And what's ironic is I don't feel that kind of anxiety about getting cancer anymore, although any actuary will tell you that I am far more likely to get it now than 20 years ago, and the odds are increasing with every passing year. Right? Health concerns have a powerful psychological effect on us. They often play an outsized and irrational role in our minds. It's easy to regard health issues emotively rather than be objective and evidence-based. Many of my very well-meaning relatives still believe that walking in the rain will cause you to catch a cold. And they often, today I'm going to have a family gathering, I'm sure some of them kind of advise me that drinking Coke causes cancer, so stop. You know? And I realize actually there's no way to persuade them, to reason with them about that, because these things are based on fear. Now, it's like COVID has passed us quite a few years already, right? Passed quite a few years ago. But even today, if you keep coughing and sneezing in a lift, in a train, or in an airplane, you feel very self-conscious, right? Especially if you don't have a mask on, because you're going to get some dirty and alarmed looks from the people around you, because we have a lot of fears about health. Whatever our views, there has been a tremendous increase in our concern for health. Okay, I go to a Chinese congregation, and one of their favorite sayings there to each other is, 健康最重要. 健康最重要. They love to say that. And in English, you often find people writing and saying, health is the real wealth. Health is the real wealth. Now we spend a lot more time, we spend a lot more money on enhancing or preserving our health and on health insurance. Lots of people also try out religion, hoping that religion will somehow improve their health or restore their health. Now, living as long and as healthily as possible has become top priority. But is that the best way to think about life? Is that the best way to look at health? Today, we will seek to address that question by looking at a passage in the Bible found in John chapter 11, first 14 verses. Now, a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when the person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. I'll let him sleep now." It's good for him to sleep, right? Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he then told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." So if you read this story before, I'm sure many of you have, you know what happened, right? Jesus will go back to Bethany and that he will raise Lazarus dramatically from the dead. Now in the Gospels, we find 2 other accounts of Jesus raising people from the dead, but this is far more spectacular. Yeah, because Jesus raised Lazarus after he went to tomb for 4 days, right? He did it very publicly. It was spectacular. And it was so public that it was an undeniable miracle. In fact, what he did was stir up those who opposed him so much, they decided that they would go and plot to kill Jesus. He cannot be allowed to grow any more popular than this. He had to die and die quickly, and that led to his arrest, trial, and crucifixion. Now that you know something of the background, we can look at some important lessons this incident teaches us about life, health, and our physical bodies. And today I'll share with you 3 principles about our need for health. The first principle is we should regard our body as a precious gift from God. Our bodies are a precious gift from God. One thing that's not changed since the Bible was written nearly 2,000 years ago is our great need for health and what we do when we or a loved one has serious health problems. What do? We look for the best physician possible. And this is exactly what Mary and Martha did, which is why in verse 3 it says, the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." And what's interesting, the word love here is not agapao, which is the word constantly used in the Bible to refer to God's love for all his creation, the kind of love that God has for all his creation, but the word phileo, which is the affectionate love of a good friend, a buddy. Mary and Martha knew that Jesus cared deeply for Lazarus as a friend and believed that therefore he would naturally desire to see Lazarus restored for good health. And the background is this. For 3 years already, Jesus has taught as well as healed all kinds of diseases throughout the entire region. So he was known as a healer. Why did Jesus do that? He came to inaugurate God's kingdom on earth. And his work of healing demonstrates powerfully that diseases and infirmity are not part of God's original design, not part of his originally perfect creation. Your physical body, your health are a precious gift from God to you, and God's will is for all of us to be able to enjoy good health. Now, 2 implications flow from this truth. Firstly, it is perfectly legitimate to seek healing. Okay, it seems strange to some of us here that we have to say this, but Well, there are people, even Christians, who question this. God provides healing. He does it in two ways. He has the power to heal miraculously. He's all-powerful. And He can even raise someone from the dead. It's not a problem for Him. Secondly, God provides healing through medical science. We call this common grace, because God extends to all humanity the ability to learn how the human body works, as well as the ingenuity to manage conditions that attack the body or weaken it. There are some Christians who believe that God does not heal miraculously anymore. Okay, there are others, on the other hand, who seek divine healing but look down on medical treatment or even reject it for themselves or their children. This is a false dichotomy. I used to go to India with a group of Christians who are very eager to pray for the sick. And what really thrills them is to pray for people and see miraculous healing. So I used to go to them every year for a trip. And one trip, I had severe diarrhea throughout the night. So in the morning, when I breakfast with them, I requested them, "Can you please pray for me?" Okay? And to my surprise, everyone in the team immediately whipped out their diarrhea medication from their bags and offered it to me. So this group of avid faith healers, they told me this: never come to India without this. And I thought it was really ironic, right? But I come to appreciate the ability to both believe strongly in divine healing as well as rely on modern medication. It's a good tension to hold. Ultimately, all healing is divine. Health is a precious gift from God. And He's also graciously enabled us to maintain health or restore health, whether through miracles or through medicine. We should seek healing both through prayer as well as through modern medicine. The two are not mutually exclusive, okay? Second implication that flows from our bodies being a precious gift from God is that we should take good care of it. When my father retired, after many years of working, his company gave him a gold Rolex watch. That's what they used to do in those days, right? And when he passed away, I inherited it from him. I stopped wearing it after I became a full-time pastor, so that not to give people the wrong impression, right? Yeah. Anyway, when I was wearing it, I realized that a Rolex has to be, it's expensive. Not only that, it has to be regularly serviced as well at significant cost, expensive to service. Because after a while, it does not keep time perfectly. Sometimes it breaks down, and then the glass, the metal bracelet, it gets scratched. So every few years, got to send for servicing, polishing, cleaning, right? And over the years, it's cost me thousands of dollars, literally. Why did I bother? Because it's a precious gift. I'm grateful to my father, and I honor his memory by keeping it in good condition. Now, maybe you're listening and say, "Wow, you wish somebody had given you a Rolex." But did you know that you have been entrusted with something far more precious? Bible tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, 20. "Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies." Please help me turn the person next to you, point to him or her and say, "Not your own." Not your own. No, the body you have is not your own. I mean, God graciously entrusted it to you for your enjoyment and your care. Now, this is something profound for those of us who are believers. When we think of Jesus saving us, dying on the cross for us, we think of Him as saving our souls. But the Bible is very clear that Jesus died to pay the price, not to redeem not only your soul, but your physical body as well. Yes, the context of this verse is about avoiding sexual immorality, but the underlying principle is applicable. We should honor God by being careful with what He has entrusted to us. I mean, think about this, guys. Will you be more careful driving your own car than driving your friend's car? In which case, you'll be more careful driving somebody else's car, right? Why? Because it is, tell the person next to you, not your own. Many years ago, I noticed that my colleagues are in the church, they went on MC very frequently. Okay, every month go on MC a few times. And it kind of frustrated me. Now, I don't think my colleagues are slackers, right? They are king, but they just kept falling sick. And then I also noticed that none of them exercise on. Huh? Nobody exercise on. They keep falling sick and nobody exercises. So because of that, I decided to institute a Keep Fit Tuesday program for the church staff team, exercise on company time. Wow, don't you like that? And the thing is, we have kept it going for over 15 years because it has such a significant and positive impact on their health. Now, hardly got MC anymore. You know, just moving your body one time a week is so much better than nothing. Well, to the people of this congregation, I say, I'm so glad to see that the younger generation appears to be far more intentional about adopting a healthy lifestyle. I mean, you just compare yourself to your parents, right? Though I suspect that your motivation is more likely to be vanity than health, still, it's a good thing, right? It's a good thing to be careful about our diet, to exercise regularly, avoid harmful addictions and substances, get our vaccinations, go for regular medical checkups, buy adequate health insurance, seek treatment when we have medical problems. And for all of us who are believers of Jesus Christ, you have an even more powerful motivation to do that, to take care of your health and your body, not just to impress people with how good you look or to be able to live long and well. We do it because our bodies are a precious gift from God. We honor God by being good stewards of what He has and graciously entrusted to us for our use and enjoyment. Having said that, we should, point number two, accept that our bodies will weaken. Huh? Accept that our bodies will weaken. One of the dreams of humanity has always been to live long and well, never die, live forever, never grow old, never grow sick, never grow weak. Every culture expresses this hope in their own myths, whether it is the Fountain of Youth, the Philosopher's Stone, the Chinese Xian Tan, you know, fairy pill, Xian Tan, it really Chang Shen Pu Lao, right? Even today, the holy grail of medicine is to be able to discover and stop the aging process. And while science has extended longevity somewhat, the awful reality has not changed at all. What's the reality? Yes, the reality is that unless you are prematurely killed, all of us in this room will die of a disease. Nobody dies of old age, okay? That's a myth. Nobody dies of old age. When you die, unless somebody kills you prematurely, you get an accident, what? You will die because of external or internal causes. Our bodies will break down to a point where life can no longer be sustained, and then we will die. The Julius Baer Report analyzes the spending habits of millionaires around the world. I know some of you are compulsive fact checkers, so I put the link up for you so you know I'm not talking nonsense. Now, the recent 2025 study observed a near universal preoccupation with physical health. The richest people are spending, and of course we like to follow them, right? The richest people are spending vastly more money on extending their lifespan and improving their health. Some are even exploring interventions like gene therapy or cryogenic treatments. What the report also tells us is that these people are not only just trying to live more healthily, but also living more lavishly. The study noted significant increases in spending on things like high-end women's clothes, five-star hotels, and fine dining. Also, that since the pandemic, fewer people are now flying on business class, but more are doing it for leisure, meaning they're willing to pay for it themselves. The reason for this trend is a very simple one. We are the first generation in human history that has largely rejected the idea that there is an afterlife. What happens after you die? Don't know lah. Can maybe just disappear? Who knows? And since we do not know if there's no God, no heaven, no hell, no consequences, no judgment, no accountability, then what's the best thing we can do? Best thing we can do is indulge in earthly pleasures for as long as we possibly can, right? So, splurge on health and luxury. Natural outcome. Now, there's another group of people who go the other way. Instead of rejecting God, they resort to religion to cope with their fears of ill health. And regrettably, most of these people call themselves Christians. Now, there's simply no polite way, no inoffensive way to describe the bizarre and thoroughly unbiblical teaching that preys on people's health fears about health. From things like urging them to take communion for health benefits, okay, can only be described as utter nonsense, or just declaring nonstop to yourself that, you're well, you're not sick, you're well. Just keep telling yourself that and you will get well. These are actually things that are being taught by Christians, incredibly, right? And reducing Christianity to a superstition. Now, a lot of good has come out from the Christian movement known as Pentecostalism, but a lot of excesses and nonsense as well. Let me quote from Bible scholar James E. Bradley. I believe he's a Pentecostal, so this is a self-criticism of the Pentecostal movement. And he said this, "Charismatic signs of healing are all too often appealed to as an attempt to remove the last vestiges of suffering in areas where modern medicine has not yet devised a means of granting relief." Okay, right? And he said, healing is often linked with an overall preoccupation with material well-being, a preoccupation that most Christians in other times and other countries would have found scandalous. Such wrong teaching is invariably based on half-truths or distorted truths. Jesus healed diseases as part of his demonstration that God's kingdom has broken into the world with his coming. Does that mean that God will heal all diseases provided we push the right buttons, eat the right food, do the right mental gymnastics? From observation or common sense, we know the answer is no. And most importantly, the Bible tells us the answer is no. Look at Jesus' response to Lazarus, the news of Lazarus' illness in verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death." Think about that. Huh? Jesus says, "This particular illness will not end in death." What's the implication of that? There are going to be many other illnesses. The norm actually is for illnesses to end in death. But in this particular case, he's going to create an exception in Lazarus' case in contrast to the norm that lots of other diseases do end in death. And in fact, you can be sure that Lazarus himself, after Jesus miraculously raised him back to health and life, unless somebody killed him, that was an accident, eventually he had some other disease and he died of it. Right? But isn't it God's desire for everyone to enjoy perfect health? Didn't you say that, Pastor? Isn't that one of the things Jesus came to make possible by his death on the cross? Answer is, yes, but not yet. Now, please tell me, tell the person next to you loudly, yes, but not yet.
Yes, but not yet.
Well done. Jesus provided, he has provided a total solution, but it will fully take effect only at a future time. In the meantime, God may heal, God may not heal. He may heal through supernatural means, he may use natural means, but he has provided a comprehensive solution for perfect health. Yes, but not yet. In fact, later on in the story, Jesus alludes to this in John 11, 25. He said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." Okay, after they die, they will be resurrected. "And whoever lives by believing in me will never die again." Do you believe this? We will grow old and sick, we will grow weak, we will fall sick, we will die. But for the person who has trusted in Jesus as the resurrection and the life, hey, all that is no big deal, man. We can accept that our bodies will weaken, grow old, fall sick, and die, and we can accept all that without any fear because we are headed for eternal glory with perfect bodies. Now, If we're not killed, all of us will die from ill health, right? As I said. Now, Jesus came to save us, not endlessly from one health condition after another. His solution is infinitely superior. It's comprehensive. It's permanent. Jesus claims that He will rise from the dead. And He fulfilled that promise after He was crucified and buried on the third day. Not only that, He rose from the dead, not as a disembodied spirit floating somewhere, but with a physical body. Jesus' promise is that all who believe in Him will similarly be resurrected one day with physical bodies. You won't just be floating about in heaven. You have a physical body. And the rest of the Bible makes it abundantly clearer that we will have glorious physical bodies. Okay, I wanted to say drop-dead gorgeous bodies, but no, you won't die anymore. Okay? And the best part is, no need to gym. No need to bulk up. No need to diet. Never fall sick again. Never grow weak. No hospitals in heaven, and all our doctor friends here will be unemployed in heaven. Okay, all the longevity myths of all the different cultures are really echoes of our longing for this glorious reality, which we know in our spirits will come true one day. We just don't know how it's going to happen until with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, if you take this truth into your heart, it will transform your life. Yes, you will still take good care of your health and your body because they're God's precious gift to you, but health will no longer be your priority or your preoccupation in life. You no longer say, 健康最重要, or health is real wealth. Jesus says real wealth is being reached towards God. You will live for something far better. Like what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Yes, we will grow old, we will grow sick, we will grow weak, we will die. But for the person who has trusted Jesus, resurrection, that's fine. Right? It's our entry point to glory forever. Now, if I stop here, I will have given you the wrong assumption that life and the universe is all about our own well-being. That God is here primarily to meet my needs, solve my problems, heal me of all diseases. That is what many people are hoping Christianity will do for them. Nothing is further from the truth. That's why the last thing I want to say about health is point number three, we will be judged for what we do in the body. Now let's get back to the point that God does heal people, whether through natural or supernatural means. Question, if God is going to give us perfect bodies in the life to come, why bother to heal our bodies temporarily in this lifetime? Or put it another way, why does God heal some of the time, but not all of the time? What is His purpose in healing anyone at all? Actually, Jesus tells us the answer in John chapter 11, verse 4. He says, when He heard this, Jesus said, this illness will soon all end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Okay, Jesus was going to heal Lazarus by raising him from the dead so that God may be glorified. God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, if you just think about this superficially, read this and think about it superficially, you think, okay, what Jesus means is that He's going to do this dramatic miracle and everybody will be so dazzled by His power, they will believe finally that, yeah, Jesus really is the Son of God. They're going to fall down and worship Him. Mission accomplished. However, that cannot possibly be correct Because if so, Jesus failed miserably to achieve that objective. Did everyone fall to the ground after Lazarus was raised, crying out, "Wow, Jesus is God, Jesus is God, let's worship Him"? No. Some of them did. Now, some of them acknowledged the Son of God, but some other people did the very opposite thing. The Bible says they went out and plotted to kill Him. So, what exactly is Jesus' intention in raising Lazarus? As in all else in life, timing is everything. Huh? Jesus deliberately raised Lazarus at this time, in this place, just outside Jerusalem, just before the annual Jewish festival Passover, in order to precipitate His own death. Huh? Every Jewish family sacrifices a lamb at Passover to remember how God had long ago delivered their ancestors from slavery in Egypt. So every year they do that. Now Jesus deliberately and publicly raised Lazarus at this appointed time, at this place, to push His enemies over the edge so that they would say, enough is enough. They would conspire to Him to have Him killed, so that His death will happen precisely at Passover. In fact, at the very hour the lambs are being slaughtered. Why? Because Jesus is God's sacrificial lamb who came to die on our behalf to turn God's anger away from us. And by His death, He paid the price for our sin. And by His resurrection, He would demonstrate beyond doubt that He truly is the Son of God with power even over life and death. That's how He's going to glorify, how this incident is going to glorify God. Not because people look at, wow, Lazarus means, wow, God is so merciful, give Him the glory. No, it's to fulfill God's salvation purposes. Let me put it another way. The healing of Lazarus was not about extending his longevity. It was about magnifying God's glory. Okay? It is less about Lazarus than it is about God's glory. Naturally, when we are sick, when our loved ones are very sick, we cry out to God for healing. Nothing wrong with that. But understand this. If God heals us, it is not primarily for our sake, but for His glory. Now, He has already taken of the problem eternally. One day we're going to perfect health, right? But now, in this life, if He heals us, it is not primarily for our sake, but for the sake of His glory. And this leads us to the bigger picture. Everything that God gives to us in our lifetime for our enjoyment and use, including our health, our bodies, is meant for us to bring Him glory, to be used for His glory. So, our ultimate focus must not be like that of the world. Our ultimate focus should not be to have a healthy body for as long as possible. Our ultimate focus should be on what we do with the body that God has given to us. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 to 10, so we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. At home in the body means alive, away from it means dead, right? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. If we focus on health as a goal of our life, we have missed the whole point of life. The point of life is not to be as healthy as possible, as long as possible. Contrary to what our culture tells us, no, health is not the real wealth, and 健康不是最重要的. The ultimate focus of life is to honor God with our body, whatever state of health we might be in, whether good or bad. So guys, you can go to the gym 7 times a week, but if you're not living your life passionately for God, you have missed the point. You can eat organic food, drink filtered water, breathe ionized air all the time, but if you're not serving God wholeheartedly, you have missed the point of life. You can take communion 3 times a day, every day, but if you're not obeying God's commands, you have missed the point. And ultimately, God is not going to judge you by how healthy a lifestyle you have lived while you're on earth. Understand that? He's going to judge you by how faithfully you have fulfilled His purposes while you are here on earth. What have you done with the health, the body that is given to you? Have you simply tried to keep it going as long as possible? Have you used it for your own enjoyment, indulgence? Or have you used it to fulfill God's purposes? For those of you who are not yet followers of Jesus Christ, I encourage you to reflect on that. Contrast the Christian way with the world's way. The world says, do everything you can, preserve your health, but since you're going to die anyway, then okay, live it up while you can, for as long as you can. Now reflect on that. Think about how pathetic that really is, right? It's pathetic. It's a bankrupt consolation. Like giving a condemned prisoner a last good meal before you execute him. It's pathetic. But since the world has no better way, that's the best they can do. Why are we following that? If health is the real wealth, or the most important thing, you are setting yourself up for disappointment because you will lose it eventually no matter what you do. In contrast, the Christian way says, if you trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, your health problems are taken care of already. For eternity, 100%. Yes, you will fall sick, you will die, but that need not be feared because it only leads to glory and perfect health forever. In the meantime, since you are liberated from the fear of ill health and death, use your body and your health to honor and please God in whatever you do. And when you stand before Christ's judgment seat one day, He'll reward you for that in addition to giving you a perfectly healthy body. Isn't that by far a better way? For those of you who are believers, the question is, have you become so conformed to this world in the way you think about health that you've been blindly swept along by what social media, what people around you are excited about? Is your devotion of your time, your money, and energy to being healthy causing you to trade off fulfilling God's purposes? Have you lost sight of the better way? Come, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you provided for us. Life, breath, and a body that we can use to enjoy things and get things done, Lord. We thank you, God, that the body is important to you. When you came to us as a man, you took on a human body. You took on a physical body. Because that is your good creation. We thank you, God, that your plan, which you executed at the highest cost yourself, is to give us perfect bodies one day. Bodies that will never grow old, fall sick, that will last forever. Lord, we just pray that help us to take on that biblical perspective so that we stop worrying about health like the rest of the world. Help us to take care of what we entrusted to us in a responsible way, but free us from this obsession and fear about health that drives the people of the world. Instead, help us to be a people who use the bodies you've given to us, the health you have blessed us with, as long as we have it, to serve you, honor you, build the church of Jesus Christ, bless the people around us, be salt and light in the world, preach the gospel to those who don't hear it, so that one day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will receive the reward that He has in store for us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you've been blessed and inspired by today's message. If you're thinking, where can I get more? Then head over to brighton.org.sg, where we've got a whole library of audio sermons just like this one. You'll find information about our services and ways to get involved. We hope to see you soon.